children. We're starting.
That's right.
Showtime. Another Fresh Picked Pod from audio2u.com. Shutters Inc. With Shelton Muller.
You might wish to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to episode 65 of Shutters Inc. I know it's been a long break, but we are back, and it is good to be back. And with
it
me on the line,
is.
Once again from Melbourne via Skype, Shelton Muller, how are you?
Hey, sorry to interrupt you there, Bruce, but it really is good to be back.
It is.
We've
it
missed is. Everybody, haven't we,
Absolutely.
Mate? Yeah,
absolutely.
I hope we've been missed in return.
Well, I think so, because I keep getting emails, so
that's
and
good
I'm assuming you're receiving emails as well.
Oh, I don't think as many as you, by the sounds of things.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they like you more than me. I'm just too controversial, maybe. You know, insulting our listeners and doing all the things that I do. You know, where you're the good cop, I'm the bad cop, all that sort of stuff. But it's been a bit of a break, and I'm sure I am joined by all our listeners when we pass on all our consolations to you for the loss of your mum, Bruce. It's
Mate,
been an awful
you.
Time for you, and I'm sure all of our listeners agree.
Yeah, it's certainly been tough. You know, I wouldn't wish upon anybody to have to watch a loved one, particularly a parent, dying of cancer. It's not a fun experience by any stretch of the imagination. And certainly the last, you know, 5 or 6 weeks has been absolutely horrific. But, you know, as I said to people at the funeral, for anybody who witnessed the last 4 weeks, you could only be thankful that it was over.
Hmm.
Because it was just awful to watch.
I'm sure that the same experience has probably been shared by many of our
yeah,
listeners.
Absolutely.
It's such an awful thing, cancer, and unfortunately so prevalent.
Yeah.
That I'm sure in some way we all relate. I was telling you, you know, before we recorded about a friend of mine who's only my
yeah.
age who recently passed away from cancer.
Yeah.
And you do get the opportunity to prepare yourself, but then there's nothing like the actual, you know, passing and how it affects you. So.
Absolutely.
Like I say, I'm sure we all join with you in grief for the loss of your mum. But
yeah.
it is nice to have you back on air, mate.
Thank you,
it really
mate.
Is good, and I hope you're all okay. And you know that from here on in, you know, as we've been talking off air, that all things are looking good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's some great stuff happening. So
you went to an Adobe
yeah,
workshop.
Yeah, Ambassadors 2-day training thing here in Sydney early in February. I was asked late last year to become an ambassador for Adobe's audio products here in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for anyone who knows the Adobe product range, and you might be wondering why I said products with
mm-hmm.
an S, because at the moment it's only Audition, but you were probably already aware that Adobe have released a public beta of a new audio app called Sound Booth, and...
Mm-hmm.
So I will become an ambassador for both Audition and Sound Booth here in Australia. And interestingly, while they had, you know, multiple ambassadors for Photoshop and Dreamweaver and things like that, I'm the only audio product ambassador they've got in this country at the moment. So
that's because you're such an incredibly good-looking girl, mate.
I don't think that had much to do with it, mate.
I didn't say that to elicit laughter. I'm not sure what you're laughing about, young man. But you know, of course, what I'm interested in, and I'm sure that because when we think of Adobe, you
yeah.
know, us photographer types, we think
Photoshop.
And Lightroom, and
yep.
you know, but there's the CS3,
right.
and that's going to be pretty funky. You're telling me.
Photoshop CS3 is unbelievable. We were all given the installation, yeah, the executables for all of the CS3 beta products, which included Photoshop CS3. And we were fortunate enough to have in the room as ambassadors Philip Andrews and Mark Gaylor, who are a couple of Photoshop experts here in Australia, and they got up and spoke about some of the new features that are in Photoshop CS3. Now, by the way, for anyone who's not aware, Photoshop CS3 is a public beta. So that means it's not just limited to people who are invited to the beta program. Anyone can go along and sign up and download the current beta of Photoshop CS3.
Which is incredible, really, isn't it? Because the difference you were telling me between the current beta product and the finished product will be minimal.
Yeah, yeah. It's my understanding is it is very much feature finished. It's really
wow.
just you know, GUIs and, you know, operational things under the hood that still need to be ironed out before the final release. But for actual features, it's pretty much there. And there's a couple of things that I really want to mention, because as a photographer, you just blow your mind with this. You've spoken about a couple of different pieces of software that you've used for doing panoramas.
Yes.
They've got this new feature in CS3 called Auto Align Layers.
Wow.
Now, this takes the, what did they used to call it? The thing that did panoramas in Photoshop CS2.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where it'd stitch photos together. This goes to a whole new level. The way this works is you can shoot your sequence of shots for a panorama. Right, now we've spoken on the podcast before that, you know, if you use too wide an angle lens, then you get too much, you know, visual distortion. Yep. So if you
difficult to align.
Yeah, if you maybe shoot it at 50 mil instead and shoot lots of shots, what you do is you set up one Photoshop document and you bring every photo in as its own layer into the one document. And then you select all of the layers in the layers palette and you say, you then go edit auto align layers. And what Photoshop does is it goes through and it works out where the common parts of each image are, and it sets them up in the correct sequence into your panorama. But the and that's pretty much what the last version did. You know, it would automatically align them like this. But the other great feature is in the edit menu, right under where it says auto align layers, is this new feature called auto blend layers.
Right.
So once you've done your auto align layers and it's mapped out your panorama of, you know, let's say you took 10 photographs and you've stretched them all out. So you've got this document that's like, you know, 5 million pixels wide and, you know, 1,000 pixels deep, right? You've still got all of the layers selected in the layers palette, and you then go edit auto blend layers, and what it does is it goes through and puts a layer mask on every layer and then works out exactly how much shading of gray, white and black to put on the layer mask of each individual layer to automatically blend all of the shots together.
Oh.
And mate, it does the most amazing job of it. It is phenomenal.
Well, so, there you go.
Yeah, I was really impressed sitting there watching Philip and Mark talking about this. I was like, wow, that's great.
I haven't met Mark and I've never heard him speak, but what Philip doesn't know about Photoshop ain't worth knowing.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
For all you offshore listeners, Philip Andrews is the Australian ambassador, or one of, for Photoshop.
He's kind of our Russell Brown.
Yeah, he is, and he's the nicest guy.
He's
and,
a top guy.
You know, he's worth certainly listening to on the subject of Photoshop, that's for sure.
Yeah. He brought along to this two-day training thing a whole bunch of the books that he has published on Photoshop. So, you know, I might drop him an email and see if we couldn't get a few books to give away on the podcast.
Yes, that would be terrific.
Because he just brought along all these books and he said, look, these are from my publisher. Anyone who wants one, just grab one. I managed to pick up a couple of them. One is called Raw Workflow and the other one is Photoshop CS2 Essential Skills. And these are both like, you know, $60.
Yeah.
You know, they're like 300-400 page books.
And $60, what's that US? About $4.50 or something.
So I might drop him an email and see if he would be able to come up with a couple of books for us to give away, because that'd be nice.
Well, give it a try. He's a nice enough bloke, and his publishers, I'm sure, will be pleased to have the book out there. So, we'll give it a try.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of things happening in the last few weeks.
Right.
Also, on the photographic front, which is quite interesting. For instance, Olympus have released their new E-series of SLRs.
Oh, okay.
I had a chat with Austin Kazami, who is the Australian marketing representative for Olympus here, and he sat me down for a couple of hours and went through the cameras. And it's really lovely to see the return of Olympus to what they've done best. Those of us who've been around a little while would remember the fabulous OM1N and OM2N, or the OM1s and 2s of the 70s and 80s.
Right.
Then, of course, the OM4, which was also a fabulous camera. And then Olympus just seemed to suddenly divert. They lost the ball. They just dropped the ball. Especially during the late 80s and the 90s, they suddenly forgot what they'd done best and did every other thing.
Yeah.
And now I think they've basically said, well, hey, you know, when we were legends, when Olympus were legends, we had the OM1 and the OM2. Why don't we return to doing that? And, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And yeah. I think they have. They've got three new SLRs coming out this year, starting off with the recent release of the E410, which basically they're saying is their link to the mum and dad, the family user. And they're saying to them, look, it's digital now. You don't need to be afraid, but we still think you should use an SLR. And their whole marketing strategy for the E410 is how a family can and should use a digital SLR over and above, say, a prosumer or consumer digital compact is a really good ploy. They've designed the camera so that it's incredibly functional, very small, and yet has the features of an SLR so that it can do anything. Interchangeable lenses, all the program and manual and modes, etc., etc. But so it allows the user to grow and take better photographs. It's a very good ploy on their part. Tomorrow I'm flying up to your part of the world, to Sydney, to attend the release, the Australian release of the Fuji S5, which is their answer to the D200, and I believe is based on the D200.
Wow.
So I'll be interested in certainly seeing that. I've always been incredibly impressed with the Fuji sensors. Their ability to capture detail in shadow and highlight and render color has always been wonderful. But their cameras, to my mind, have always been incredibly dysfunctional. They're based on Nikon bodies, but they have just their software is slow, and their battery packs and their power usage has always been difficult. And a friend of mine who loves Fujis has long complained about the functionality of the Fuji SLRs. In speaking with other photographers on the subject, they too complain about the functionality, but can't get over the fact that they love the images. So if this time, and of course, what a paradox is that?
Yeah.
You have a great camera that takes beautiful pictures, but it functions like a dog when you're on assignment. So,
which is the last thing you want.
Yes, exactly.
You don't want to be fighting the technology while you're trying to be creative.
Yeah, exactly. And my friend, a good friend of mine, Greg Bayer, who works with Fuji cameras, he says on a wedding, it's just incredible. It takes beautiful pictures, but it's so slow. So hopefully this time, and I'll get back to you next week with my report, the S5 or the Fuji people have said, okay, time to fix it. And I really hope they have, and it'll be an issue I'll be addressing with them as I attend this function tomorrow. So I'll get back to you all next week on the S5. Recently I've been honored with becoming one of the photographers featured on the Koken website.
Nice.
All of us. Yeah, it's been really quite an honor. As you would all know, I have long extolled the virtues of filters and my love of Koken filters from both a practical and artistic perspective on this podcast. Well, they've repaid me by honoring me with a place in their website. So if you go to koken.com and check out the experiences section, you'll see my name there. So that was really, really nice.
Awesome.
So yes, look, there's probably been a million other things that I just can't think of that's been happening while we've been away. But we're back. We're back, and we're here. Here to talk photography. One thing I thought I'd talk about, if you've got nothing else to say, Bruce, for the moment, is something I was reading recently, and I've realized that this encapsulates a lot of what I have been talking about as my own, particular brand of photography and my own mission in teaching photography. And it was put this way in an article I was reading. It's called The Art of Reduction. And I thought, that's it. That's the whole idea encapsulated in three words.
Reduction of?
Art of reduction, simplification, reduction in what we place in a photograph, how much we need to say in an image.
Okay.
And I think it's something that I will be learning myself and really learning to apply. As much as I have always spoken about tight composition, the simplicity of composition, minimal depth of field, and those techniques within photographs, I realized that I could actually learn the art of reduction to a greater degree myself. And I see photographers doing this all the time, actually deliberately cropping where I would include, moving way over to, you know, the wrong side of what we call looking room, where you have someone looking into a frame, they have them actually looking out. Things like that that I think I'd love to really get over my own processes and learn those techniques. But let's talk about a couple of things that the art of reduction really is. And that is the implication that there's more than I'm actually telling you. And what that does in an image is it gives the photographer reason to stay. It gives the viewer, rather, reason to stay and look at the image in this quest to find out more, but knowing that they just won't, or allowing their imagination to fill it in. And as spurious as analogy this might be, I suppose it's the difference between lingerie and nudity. There's always this, you know, why do men like lingerie when you know, really they just want to unwrap the package, I suppose. But there's something about the imagination that goes into play. And I'm sorry about the analogy, but it's the only thing I could really come up with. Maybe it's a guy thing, I don't know. But the art of the implication that there's more, but you just, you know, you're going to have to use your imagination is a gripping thing. And in an image is reason for the viewer to just stay and ponder and wander and be curious about. You know, cropping tightly to the face, leaving out, you know, certain features, things like that. And I want us all to give that a try. Leave something to the imagination. For instance, we've spoken often about depth of field here, and it's one of my little bugbears, one of my little hobby horses that I ride, because I see photographers again and again and again not using the power of minimal depth of field or maximum depth of field, but rather just not realizing that their aperture is a powerful tool for both ends of the scale. Now, depth of field is a combination of the focal length of the lens we use, the aperture that we select, and the proximity of, you know, camera to subject. If we get a handle on that, then we really are starting to work our images. But in the art of reduction, depth of field is about highlighting a subject, but also it's about deliberately leaving things out of focus so that if we want to think about them, we just need to work a little bit harder. And of course, it's a combination of attracting the eye to the subject through minimal depth of field and very, very, you know, minimal sharpness on the subject, but also implying that, well, there's more to see, but, you know, that's not for you to see, or that's you know, just out of the realms of what I want to show you. It's a, you know,
ignore the elephant on the table.
yeah, that's right. He's just not there. I just want you to look at the corner of the table. Even our use of color, I mean, is something that we can apply the art of reduction in. Too many colors in a picture can be distracting and difficult. You know, using one color, two colors, opposing colors is more gripping than having 30 or 40 or a million colors in an image. If sometimes an image can just simply be about, you know, two colors that are in shapes that are within a frame, placed within, you know, compositionally, in a compositionally pleasing manner. The art of reduction is about less, not more, and is a very powerful tool that I've been, whether it's just me opening my eyes or whether it actually has become sort of a nouveau technique that photographers are employing more, but I have noticed more and more in images. Especially I've noticed this in portrait and wedding photography. Normally, of course, you know, there's the standard wedding photograph of couple cuddling on the beach or in a nice floral landscape or whatever. And, you know, but now they're actually photographers, and I've started doing it myself, are just, you know, cutting to the quick and just closing right in, even excluding the side of the face, the shoulders, arms, and just really tightening up and making very powerful pictures that leave the photographer wondering what the rest was, but then saying to themselves, oh, well, I can't see it, so I'll just look at this. There's all that going on in your head as you look at an image that is so reduced in its complexity that it can only lead, you know, the photographer to wonder and ponder a little more.
So we're entering the age of photographic minimalism.
Photographic minimalism. Yes, thank you. That's it. That's exactly it. And in all that we've really talked about, well, not all, but in a lot we've spoken about in terms of simplification, in terms of, you know, composition, what to leave in, what to leave out, depth of field, color, use of color and minimizing there, you know, strong images that contain less. That really is the art. That's what the art of reduction is. And I think that we really could learn a lot from that. More and more, I continue to see photographers trying to put too much in their picture and losing the viewer altogether. And that's really what we do. When we think, it's like someone who talks too much. And of course, there's the pot calling the kettle black, right? But it's like someone who talks too much. You can sit there for an hour and listening to them and then at the end wonder what on earth they said. And sometimes a person can say a sentence that takes 3 seconds and be incredibly profound. It's like, you know, when we look up a quote or a proverb that we hear, it's a small sentence and yet we take it away and we think about how it applies to our lives in general. In photographs, in images, we can take an image, simplify it, reduce it right down to its core, and then let the viewer take it away and think about it. And we've often wondered as we've listened to the lyrics of songs, you know, that you think, how many people have pondered the meaning of Stairway to Heaven or Hotel California? Often the writers will say, oh, these are just words that meant something to me and I put it in a song. And what it means to you is up to you. Don McLean will never, ever tell anybody what the meaning of American Pie is. And, of course, we all know it's the history of rock and roll, but yeah. who's the Jack B. Nimble and who's the, you know, who's Jack Flash or whatever he talks about in that song. Yeah. So, you know, he'll never tell because he wants you to take it away and think about it. It'll mean more to you if you interpret it yourself rather than he just said, okay, this person is this person and this person means that and this expression means this event. He wants you to think about it. Now, if we translate that across into our photography and we allow our viewers to take something away for themselves, it will mean a lot more to them. It'll be much more profound experience for them than if we say, oh, I better put this in. Oh, I better put this in. Oh, I better make sure that tree is in there. I want people to see that tree. Oh, I better make sure that, you know, aspect of the scene is in there because I want people to see that. I better make sure that the bride and groom are surrounded by flowers. No. Why? Let's not do that and let the viewer take it away and imagine it. That's what really this whole art of imaging is all about. Yeah. Let's reduce it down so that we simplify and give people something to think about. That's what good photojournalism has always been about. That should also be what portraits, weddings, landscapes, still lifes, nudes, any of those things that we photograph should be about. And I think that's something I want to learn. Having been a photographer for so long, you get into these processes that are hard to break. And it's something I will personally be applying in my photography from here on in, especially photography for myself, that I will enable, that I will endeavor rather to do so that I also learn this art. So I'd love to know what you all think about these thoughts. It's been rather profound to me. There's these three words, the art of reduction. Let me know what you think, because I'd like to know whether you've also seen this trend, whether you believe in it, and whether, of course, you've even had joy in applying it. So let's get some more emails happening here, because I don't want to be less popular than Bruce, and I'd like to know what's going on in your photography. A couple of things to finish off with. Walt, only kidding, mate. Love all Canadians, especially Newfoundlanders. David, I did. That's my answer to you. Thank you for your email about China. Mate, your pictures are really good. Really, really good. And if you give me permission, I wouldn't mind putting the link up on Audio to You as one of our listeners who's done really well, as they'd say in some of the suburbs in Australia here. or actually they'd say really good, because your China photographs were great. You mentioned in your email to me that we should do a podcast on using auto modes. We did that a little while back, if I remember correctly, so maybe you just haven't heard that one, but we did talk about the use of various modes in cameras and what they can be used for. So find that one and have another listen. If it's not exactly what you want from me, let me know, mate, and we'll do it again, perhaps a little more specifically to your needs. So anyway, that's me out. That's me done. I'll shut up now and let everybody get on with the rest of their lives.
Excellent, mate. Thank you for that.
No, my pleasure.
I must admit, I have not, you know, obviously over the last 6 weeks, I've not been focused on the podcasting. I haven't had any opportunity to even think about chasing up the GorillaPod stuff. I've pretty much given up trying to talk with this person that was originally my contact. So, Shilton, I think I had asked you. I don't know if you've had a chance to.
I haven't either, mate. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I've been incredibly popular with my clients these last few months.
Right.
So I've been, you know, like they say here, flat out like a lizard drinking, mate.
That's it.
So, yeah, there's one you can all, if you're overseas, take away with you. A new saying, if someone asks you how you're busy, you've been flat out like a lizard drinking, mate. Use that one.
Do you know, at News Radio, we have a guy called Kel Richards, and he does a word of the day sort of thing each weekday. It's called Word Watch. And he did this great one where he was talking about how there are regional sayings.
Uh-huh.
And apparently there's this great saying in Texas that if you're not interested in something or, you know, whatever the topic of conversation doesn't really appeal to you, the local saying in Texas is, I don't have a dog in that fight.
I like it.
Isn't that great?
I like it. Speaking of dogs, you know how in Australia when you have one beer too many or you get drunk, it's called blind. Man, it was blind, right?
Yeah.
I heard one the other day. Blind as a welder's dog. Went down the pub.
Great.
Went down the pub and got blind as a welder's dog.
That's sensational.
I love it. So, you know, take that away from all you Canadians and Americans and British out there. Use that at the next time you're a social gathering.
That's a great one. I like that.
I can hear it. I can hear them all in Great Britain now. Come on, lads. Let's go down the pub. We'll get blind as a welder's dog.
That's fantastic.
Oh, there you go. There's so much value in this podcast, isn't there, for everyone?
There is. Sensational. All right. I could sit here and rave about Photoshop CS3.
We should do so, in intervals or
absolutely.
Over the next few weeks.
Absolutely. Mm. One other good thing about it, though, is the next version of Bridge is really good. They've made it a lot faster, because that was one thing I didn't like about Bridge was how slow it was.
Mm.
But there's some great new features in Bridge as well. So, yeah, like I said, it's all public beta, so if you haven't checked it out, go to labs.adobe.com. I'll put a link up on the Shutters Inc. page.
Right.
I think you have to, you have to sign in and give them your name and email address and whatnot before you can download the files, but definitely worth checking out. So, yeah.
Great. Mm. Well, I'm going to be having a look at it at the moment. The moment I hang up on Skype, I'm just going to go straight over there and check it out.
Excellent. Mm. All right, matey. Well, thanks for all of today, and it's been great to catch up again.
Yeah, it has, mate, and I've missed you, bud, but we all know why.
Yep.
And, it's good to get back, absolutely.
Definitely.
You know, lots for us to talk about. Nice to be back together in all our circle of friends. So I hope you all out there have enjoyed our return, and we'll be back same time next week, won't we, mate?
Absolutely, mate. We'll talk to you then.
You bet. See you soon.
See ya.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio2U delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control D to bookmark. Audio2U.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over. No.